Hi, everyone out there in Odyssey Land. I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse Magazine. Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
And here we are at the end of another epic two-parter on the club. In a sun-scorched land was a dramatic story in a far-off place with an incredible journey to a promised land with heart-pounding chases, a few laughs, and even some tears along the way.
You know, whenever we have a big episode like this, I always love to do a deep dive into the details with the people who spent weeks, well, and even months working on it, the writer and the sound designer.
Which is exactly what's on the docket today. Writer-director Kathy Buchanan and sound designer Christopher Deal joined us in the studio to tell us all about creating this unique journey to Africa.
Let's hear what they had to say. Well, Chris and Kathy, thanks for joining us on the podcast again.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Kathy, let's go back to the beginning. This episode was inspired by a terrible but true story that is also known as the Lost Boys of Sudan. So why did you want to create an Odyssey episode based on that story?
You know, when I first heard this story, was probably in the early 2000s, and the Lost Boys of Sudan, which were these 20,000 children that had been displaced because of war and were in search of a refugee camp. When I heard about this story, and it had been going on for 25 years of my life or so, and I'm just sort of shocked that I've just kind of been going about in my Midwestern life and not even aware of the atrocities that were happening on the other side of the world. And so once I heard it, I really felt like this is a story that needs to be told. And it's just a story that had always been near and dear to me. And so I really wanted the opportunity to someday write about it in Odyssey.
Yeah, well, you did a great job. So which parts of the story are true or at least based on reports of the real Lost Boys, and which parts do you create specifically for this episode?
I read probably 9 or 10 different biographies of different Lost Boys. It's sort of a conglomeration of a lot of different stories. And typically they were traveling in much larger groups. And so this is unique in that it's just the three of them, which we, of course, had to do for casting purposes.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily want, 10,000.
It'd be hard to fit in the studio there in California.
Exactly. It's a little tight.
Well, and something I thought about and we'll get into the story itself in a minute, but it occurred to me that when they're hiding from the people who are pursuing them, that it would be a lot harder for them to avoid detection if they were in a large group.
Right. Well, and that was definitely one of the dangers when you had, thousands of kids basically walking in a line, the ones at the beginning would get shot oftentimes by the soldiers, and the ones in the back would have to just run for their lives. And it's really tragic. Just a horrific experience.
Our listeners may not know this, but you've actually traveled to Africa several times. So did those trips inform this episode at all?
Oh, for sure. We've done 3 trips to Africa for humanitarian work, for our adoption that we did a few years ago. And first of all, it instilled in me such a love for Africa. And I mean, to say Africa, it's an entire continent. And so, I've only seen pockets of it. But the people there and the way the communities that are built there and the way they care for each other and sacrifice for each other is such a meaningful thing. And so it also helped, I think, in writing it to just remember the sights and sounds and smells of being there too.
That's really cool. The story is so rich and has a number of themes. And in fact, you could have sort of fleshed out and gone a number of different directions with it, such as really talking about God's plan for our lives or not giving up. So why did you settle on suffering producing hope?
We were having a writer's meeting, and we were just talking about how so many kids, young teens that were really struggling with despair and hopelessness. And what can we do on Odyssey to help kids walk through those times when life is just really hard? And so I wanted to give them a story, not to say, oh, your problems are nothing in comparison to what these people go through.
Sure.
Because pain is pain, and we all have hard seasons in our lives. And so, but I did want to see I did want to show people that even in the midst of things that are really difficult, you can keep walking, that there is still a story that God has for you. There is still a plan. There is still a hope. And to not give up, to just to keep taking that next step, and to not live in despair, but to realize that this is for a time, and this is something that you'll get through, and that God has something more for you.
Yeah. And we don't want to give away too much about this show, but it is a really difficult show, and it's very sad. Mm-hmm. And in fact, one of the characters dies in the mm-hmm. show. So why did you decide to allow that to happen in this show?
That wasn't the original plan. I mean, we are aware that we have a young audience, and we don't want to traumatize anybody. But it felt in the writing of it that it wasn't doing it justice or really honoring the story unless somebody did die, because that was such a common thing. I mean, for the Lost Boys, half of the kids on the journey died on their way to the refugee camps. Mm. And so, I mean, over 10,000 children. So it's it just felt like that needed to happen. And I felt like we could do it while still offering hope for eternity, hope for the children that did survive, and even hope for that character even.
Okay, Kathy, we've talked about several different aspects of the writing so far, but let's step back for a moment and compare this story overall to others that you've written. Of course, you have done a three-part mm-hmm. episode on the Holocaust for the club,
yeah.
So we know that you're capable of the heavier stuff and handling it very well.
Right, and you've also written some really funny ones, like changing bedrooms, just wacky, silly stuff.
Right. So why is a show like this either easier or maybe harder to write than a light comedy?
It's easier for me to write the comedies, for sure. But sometimes, and this happened with the Irena Sendler story as well, a story just hits me and I just feel like this story has to be told. And there's so much that I learn from this story and that I think other people can learn from the story. And so they're definitely more intimidating to write because, first of all, they're true, or at least based on true stories. And so I want to retain that authenticity of it and what would be true to the characters. And there's also just this weight of, this is such an important story to tell, and I want to do it justice. I want to do it well.
Yeah. Chris, let's go over to you. You read the show before recording it out in California. So what was your reaction when you first read the script, and did you have any suggestions for changes?
Usually I get a script ahead of time, mostly to look through for production, and to find out how things are going to flow. This one was a harder script to read because you knew that it was going to be a heavy script with this journey that these kids were taking and some of the challenges that they were going to have to go through. So even that I knew was going to be it was going to be a heavier script when it came to emotion. And so even when you're doing that, you start thinking through how you would produce it. So it always helps to read through the script ahead of time just so that we're ready. On the front end to make suggestions in movement in a scene.
So in this one, did you have any suggestions for changes?
Sometimes the suggested changes we'll have will just be things that we put on the script. So when the actors are performing it, they know what their movements are.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if they're getting out of a vehicle or handing something off, we'll make sure that those are all notated within the script. So the actor, when they're actually doing it, will understand what their character's doing.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you were both in the control room during the recording session. Because we strive for authenticity, how did you keep the accents real and stay consistent throughout the episode? Kathy, of course, you directed mm-hmm. it in addition to writing it.
Yeah.
What about that and maybe some other challenges that you faced?
Well, there's a whole slew of challenges on this one. Typically, for an Odyssey show, we have a few of our main characters in there, and they all know each other, and they all know the show, and there's just a really good rapport there. And it's pretty fun, it's pretty light, and it's pretty easy. And this show in particular, first of all, didn't have main characters except for Matthew in it. And so we had a lot of new characters, new to Odyssey characters, who are great and who were wonderful to work with. But they're still kind of getting their feet under them and figuring out who are these people and what kind of show is this. And then you have kids who are just, just have some less experience, and so it takes a little bit longer to kind of get them into their characters. And there's also studio teachers because there's kids, which means that you have to take your breaks and make sure they're getting their water and their time to rest. And it's a two-parter, which adds another element. It's
long day.
It was the accents, which added another level, because sometimes the accents would change a little bit, and it's like, oh, that actually sounds more Asian than African. Let's go back and try that again. And then there was a challenge of we had to get out of the studio early, and so usually it's not a problem to go over, but in this case, we had to be done by 6 p.m. sharp, and we're thinking, okay, we have half an hour and 9 pages, and so there was a lot of stress, and the gluten-free pizza.
Oh, yeah.
I'd forgotten about that.
That didn't show up.
That can be really disappointing.
So there was a lot. It was definitely one of the more challenging recording days that I've experienced. But it all came together, and I ended up being really happy with it.
Yeah, and some of the authenticity with the accents. There were a few of our actors that this was one of their first times being in the studio. So just getting over the nerves of sitting behind a microphone and being in a room with people is sometimes a challenge. And working through the accents, some of them had to work at it a little more than others. But, you know, it all kind of came out in the end.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, this episode was recorded during the same session in California as All for the Guest, which features Wooten and Penny. So, Chris, compare recording a scene with maybe several kids in the studio all together compared to just one with, like, our main characters. And what are the challenges of each? Because, you know, I know working with Jess Harnell can be just really hard.
And fun.
And fun, exactly.
Well, they both have their challenges, and sometimes things can get slowed down for various reasons. I mean, the kids are a lot of times, if they're new, it just takes a little longer to work through a scene to make sure they understand what it is. Even just understanding how a character, especially in audio drama, has to perform, because they have to, you know, show their motions and their movements and stuff, as opposed to being on a screen.
Right.
But then you have people like Jess and Kimmy who are great actors, but have a tendency to get off script a lot. So that sometimes will slow down a scene as well. So
in the best ways, right? Yeah. I laugh so hard when those two get together. And
You just never know what's going to come out of their mouths. Yeah. It's always a fun time. So they are very different, and the scripts are different, so they lend themselves to different things. In this circumstance, the show that we worked on with In a Sun Scorched Land was a two-parter, so it covered a whole day.
Yeah.
And so then we had a night to come back, and then we'd come back and we'd do the comedy the next day. So that kind of helped break up our flow and gets us in a different mindset. But it can be a bit of a mind shift whenever you've got two shows like that in a day and you've got to move from a drama to a comedy.
Mm-hmm. Well, something that listeners probably don't realize is that having a character move from one location to another in the middle of a scene is really difficult for you guys. This show had several moments like that. Why is it so hard as a sound designer, and how do you overcome that?
Well, when you think about watching a TV show, you see someone walking from outside to inside. You don't really think about it. It just feels like a natural flow. But in reality, they stop a shot, and they reset up cameras, and they go inside, and then they have the person walk through the door. So they actually have two camera shoots. A lot of times the way we work is the camera is with the character. So when we walk from one environment to another, the camera's got to follow along. So if we're going from outside to inside, that camera's got to go through that, and the environment changes. So we have to account for all that as we move from one area to another and try to make it feel seamless. They do it easily on video because it's a quick cut and your eyes and your ears accept it. But in audio, you're like, hold on, something just changed. So you have to figure out how to make that movement work smoothly.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that the big sounds that people immediately associate with sound design, they think, oh, that'd be so fun. That was a great explosion. Those are the easier things for you guys to do. It's the things they don't notice, and it's because you do your job so well that they don't notice it.
Yeah, there's a lot of subtleties that have to come along that kind of make a story move along. You don't want them to notice it because then it would catch their ear and they wouldn't notice the story as much. They would be paying attention too much to the sound effects. And you want them to be able to just accept that it's a natural environment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't make this easy for you. I have a lot of people running away from each other, you know, so there's like people in the background, people in the foreground, there's sound effects of the bushes, there's hiding, there's climbing ladders,
and some of that
climbing
goes
over
back.
Fences.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of that goes back to what you were talking about earlier is reading through the script initially and trying to make sure that that those motions, if you don't need them, because it sometimes it doesn't help a scene. So if you don't need them, you can try to get that stuff taken care of ahead of time. Sometimes it's important to a scene to have that movement. For example, on this show, we had them riding in a truck. They get out of a truck, and then they walk over somewhere else. And to disrupt that would disrupt the flow of the story. So those are things that we look at, and then those are things that we have to try to figure out how to design around.
Well, Kathy and Chris, it's been a lot of fun talking with you. I do have one more question before we say goodbye, and that is, as you think back about this show and the creation of it, is there a memory that will just always stick with you? This was a special show.
Just thinking through the journey that these kids made, I just really wanted to make sure I did it justice in giving giving it the right feel and flow as the show progressed. And, you know, there was definitely some challenging points in the show to listen to, just knowing what these kids were dealing with. So I hope that that impacts and gives the listeners an appreciation for what these kids went through.
You know, one of the things that impacted how I wrote the story was memories of when my sons came home from Africa, and for them, how precious food was. And I thought about this a lot in that scene where the kids are so hungry, and then they find these bugs, and it's like Christmas, you know. And it's something that,
yeah,
I mean, in our culture, in our, you know, in our lives, like that would not have been, oh, yay, we get to eat bugs. But for them, that was such an incredible miracle of a moment. And that was sort of influenced through seeing my own boys when they came home, and they had issues of malnutrition and not having so much to eat. And I remember taking my son to his Sunday school class. And on that particular day, they were learning about how God made the fish and creation, stuff like that. So they were like, you know, get armed with their glue sticks and you know, putting the blue paper on, gluing on the blue paper. And then they were handed these little goldfish crackers, and they were gluing on all the little goldfish crackers. And so all the kids are just like going to town, and my son is over there, and he's just stuffing the goldfish crackers into his pocket. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, he's just like, they kept giving him another Dixie cup. And he was just like, stick him in his pocket again. And it was something that will always stick with me, of just how much we take for granted that we eat three times a day. That, and so, I mean, the things that we complain about are the things that other people pray for. And so to just really realize, you know, and to recognize that, you know, we have so much to be grateful for, and to really think about what can we do to help other people that don't have as much as we do.
Yeah, that really is the power of Odyssey, to open the listener's eyes to situations like this, to biblical stories, to just truths of God's world. So it was very powerful. I mean, that scene in particular, and the whole show, really.
Oh, I think it's a good place to end it. Guys, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, guys.
This was quite an episode, and that was quite an interview. After hearing all about its creation, I want to go back and listen to In a Sun-Scorched Land with new ears.
You can. Both parts are up right now in the Adventures in Odyssey Club, and they're soon to be joined by our next exclusive club adventure, another two-parter sound designed by our friend Christopher Deal.
Let's hear a preview of part one now.
This month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club, Zoe and Olivia are excited about this year's competition at Camp Whatanut.
Olivia and I have been a team for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
But when they get to camp,
we're not together.
Yeah.
And who is Elise?
Can I please do the log roll? I've always wanted to roll a log. Do you mind?
Okay.
Join Zoe, Olivia, Scarlett, and Elise, and Wooten, Connie, and Wyatt for a special week at camp this month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
Between Camp and a Hard Place, Part 1 releases March 1st in the club. Be sure to check it out.
You know, those Camp Weathernut episodes are always my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
That's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation to Focus on the Family. Our website is witsend.org/podcast.
You can join the club at aioclub.org, or you can call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day is an adventure.